Good morning. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Falck Renewables Group as of March 31st, 2017 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Tony Volpe, CEO of Falck Renewables Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Falck Renewables' first quarter 2017 financial results conference call. We turn to page three now, and we start by saying that the presentation will discuss the financial and operational highlights for the quarter, and it will also provide an overview of the environment in which these results were achieved. I will then turn to Paolo to provide details on our financial performance, and I will conclude at the end. So moving to page five of the presentation, overall, I am very pleased to say that we achieved strong results in the first quarter of 2017, better results than those from 1 year ago in the same period. And these results are due for the large part to a price increase across Europe, with the exception of France, of course, where we have a feed-in tariff. And also they are due to better wind production in the UK, which increased 31% compared to the same period of a year ago. And also they increased because of organic growth, thanks to the addition in terms of new capacity of Scaldington, Kingspoon and Hassel Valley, which have been fully operational since last year. I'm also particularly pleased about these results because in the first quarter, they were achieved in very challenging wind conditions. Especially in Italy, we experienced 30% less in terms of megawatt hours produced compared to last year, and France, 33% less. And they were also achieved in a context where, compared to last year, we had a depreciation of the sterling exchange rate of about 10.4%. All these things, of course, had a negative impact, which went to compensate the positive impact of the price increase. We also continue to take steps to strengthen our balance sheet and profit and loss, in particular reducing the impact of financial charges through the renegotiation of certain of our existing facilities. To give you an idea, our successful efforts to date have lowered our average interest rate from 5.1%, which was the number we had at the end of first quarter 2016, to 4.25%, which is the number we have at the end of this quarter, which is almost 1%. With Oak Roberts, which reached COD soon after we closed the quarter, we have already reached our 2017 capacity target. Our installed capacity increased 59 megawatt, or 8%, this quarter compared to last one, reaching 785 megawatt in the first quarter of 2017. The addition of Oak Roberts with 36 megawatts brings total capacity to 821 megawatt, and this number does not include a contribution from our minority stake power plants like La Muela and the FEA waste-to-energy plant. Not only we have added capacity recently, but in this quarter we also welcome the addition, also in terms of management team. We believe that we now have the right people in place to carry out the industrial plan we introduced during our Capital Markets Day in November 2016, 5 months ago. Vector 4, the company that is fully dedicated to services to third-party customers, continues to increase its portfolio of assets under management, reaching 1.7 gigawatt at the end of this quarter compared to the end of the year. And they also continue the growth in terms of new services in the engineering area. Moving now to page six, I would like to give you the highlights of our financial results quarterly, of the quarter, which, as you can see, have increased across the board, so in every financial indicator. Revenues, in particular, were up 4.3 million euros compared to the first quarter of last year, primarily as a result of full operations at our Spalding, Kingspoon, and Asset Valley wind farms, strong performance of the waste-to-energy biomass sector, and of course, improved energy prices, partially offset by the wind conditions that I described before in Italy and France. EBITDA, as a result of revenue increase, also increased by 2.7 million, and EBITDA margins also improved from 58.5% from 58.2%, which was the number we had during the same period of last year. This EBITDA number also includes an increase in terms of capital expenses. 1.5 million were spent in the quarter to support the future growth of our business. The decrease in terms of financial charges helped drive higher EBT numbers at the end of this quarter compared to the same quarter of last year. Our net financial position is flat compared to the close of 2016. Paolo, of course, will spend more time detailing these numbers and comparing the results to the previous year. As a result of all of the first quarter numbers, we can confirm our 2017 guidance we have reported in our prior conference call. Turning now to page 7, I wanted to highlight also the operational performance of the wind farms. And as I mentioned before, wind performance in the first quarter has been particularly poor in Italy, France, and Spain when we compare these results to 1 year ago. And it was below, of course, our expectations. In this slide, when we look at the left side, we highlight the performance of our facilities in Italy and UK, which are the most significant countries, to our internal performance index, which sets our expectations. As you can see, in the first quarter of 2017, we witnessed a significant decline in terms of compared to our index. Overall, we marked a number of 11% lower than expectations, which is 12% if we exclude some curtailments, which are reimbursed. And this is driven mostly by Italy, which performed much lower compared to our expectations, 20%. The UK performed better than previous year, but still below expectations. This is also due to the fact that we experienced some grid outages at Millennium, which was a grid outage already forecasted and needed by the network operator to upgrade the grid in that area. And also we experienced some outages in Budusola, Alessandri wind farms, which was due to the meteorological conditions that impacted Italy at the beginning of the year. You will remember it was pretty much across the board. This number also, if we compare the overall performance versus the index of the first quarter of 2016, while this year we are 11% below, last year we were 1.6% above. So concluding the quarter with positive financial results in spite of this poor wind condition, I think marks, again, a good performance of the company overall in this quarter. When we look at the load factors, what we notice, of course, is that the load factor in the UK has improved compared to the first quarter of 2016, where we had quite opposite conditions, so the UK was underperforming and Italy was performing a little bit better, and improved 3%, while the load factors, as could be expected in Italy, France, and Spain, are much lower compared to the same period of last year. The results in terms of production, therefore, taking into account the availability of the resource, is that total energy production in first quarter of 2017 was down 2.2% compared to the first quarter of 2016, primarily due to the mix of good production in the UK and growth of capacity and lower production in Italy and France and Spain. Wind production decreased to 3% compared to a year ago. the amount of waste processed in the Trezzo plant decreased by nearly 12% in the first quarter 2017 versus a year ago, due to a certain number of technical delays. Overall waste energy production decreased from 34 gigawatt hours to 27 gigawatt hours in the first quarter of 2017 and 19% year over year. The Esposito plant processed, on the other hand, more waste in the first quarter of 2017 with a significant pickup, so 26,000 tons compared to 21,000 tons at in the first quarter of 2016. Also, the performance of Rento was very good. It was better in the first quarter of 2017 compared to the same period of last year. This is as a result of fuel management, which was much more efficient in terms of utilization factor of biomass per energy of output. And also last year, in the same period, we had the maintenance of Rende, which of course lowered the production numbers. As a result of all of this, the plant produced 40% more compared to the same period of 2016. Energy production went from 19.5 gigawatt hours to 27.5 gigawatt hours. Solar production overall in the first quarter of 2017 was better, was up 14%, and this was due primarily to better solar irradiation in Italy compared to the same period of last year. So in Italy, it seems like wind and solar somewhat compensated because, you know, there was a lot less resource in terms of wind and a lot more resource in terms of solar. Of course, our installed base in terms of solar in Italy is much smaller, so it does not compensate the reduction in wind. Turning the page, we have also provided the information in terms of market prices, which, as mentioned before, were positive. In particular, the market component of capture price in Italy grew 39% compared to the previous year. The green certificate rose 7%. Overall, price captured by the company in Italy grew 16% when we combine both the energy component and the green certificate. We have a very similar number as a total result in the UK with a 15% growth in terms of capture price. The ROC component grew 1% because it's mostly driven by inflation, while the energy price increased about 30% when we compare the same period of 2017 with 2016. France was flat because of the feed-in tariff. Spain also increased quite significantly, 144% in 2017 versus 16. As you might remember, our Spanish power plants are fully exposed to merchant prices in that country. So with that, I will now turn to Paolo that will provide you more details in terms of our financial results. Please, Paolo.
So good morning. So let's start with an analysis of the primary indicators on our profit and loss. Page 11. Revenue was 77.5 million euro in the quarter, up 5.9% compared to the same period in 2016. This was primarily driven by higher energy prices in Italy, in the UK and Spain, and the full contribution of Spaldington, Kingsburg and Nassau Valley wind farms, which were not in operation in the year-ago period. These results were partially offset by certain factors that are outside of our control, which Tony highlighted earlier, including weak wind performance in Italy, France and Spain, and the devaluation of the sterling against the euro, which is down 10.4% on average year over year. Going down the table at page 11, EBITDA increased by 2.7 million during the same period due to the higher development cost, which supported the development of new markets in alignment with the industrial plan we released during our Capital Market Day at the end of November 2016. Depreciation costs were nearly flat year over year due in large part to two offsetting factors. First, the increase in the stored capacity year over year, and the benefit from the sterling devaluation on average, in this case, since the cost, the devaluation of sterling is a benefit. Earning before taxes increased in Q1 2017 compared to the year ago period, primarily because of lower financial charges, which resulted from the negotiation of new loans with better conditions. Moving down the table, our net financial position remained flat compared to 2016. We finished the quarter with a net financial position of 565 million euro, including derivatives. And importantly, as mentioned during our conference call in which we present 2016 results, the cash produced by our plan has been absorbed partially by the payments related to the CAPEX that will postpone at the end of 2016. Let's turn to slide number 12. As I mentioned in the previous slide, our quarterly revenue was up by 4.3 million year over year, due in large part to higher electricity sale price and better energy production in the UK, partially offset by weak wind conditions in Italy, France, and Spain, and the devaluation of the sterling against the euro. Q1 2017 revenues have not been impacted by scheduled maintenance work at our Rende hybrid plant, which occurred in the first quarter 2016. I also like to highlight the recovery in the volumes of waste treated at our Esposito plant, which was partially offset by the decrease of waste burned at our Trezzo plant due to certain technical delays. Now let's turn to the second graph on this slide, which demonstrates revenue by country. As we said before, UK revenue was up 6.8 million euro in Q1 2017 compared to the same quarter last year, partially offset by the 2.2 million decrease in Italian revenue during the same period. Now let's focus to the EBITDA bridge on page 13. In this slide, you can see more details regarding the increase in the EBITDA from 42.6 million during Q1 2016 to 45.3 million in this quarter. The year-over-year increase is largely the result of the 3.2 million perimeter increase due to the entry into commission of the Spaldington, Kingsborough, and Dussel Valley wind farms for a total of 59 megawatts. Lower volumes accounted for 10.2 million and they were primarily the result of lower wind production, which we said before, 8.7 million in Italy and 1.1 million less in France and Spain, which was partially offset by strong wind production in the UK. Higher electricity price, up 16% in Italy and 15% in the UK, positively impact Q1 2017 EBITDA by 10.6 million. We were also able to lower operating costs during Q1 2017 as a result of the scheduled maintenance work that took place at our Rende hybrid plant in Q1 2016. Our Q1 2017 EBITDA is also negatively impacted by an increase of 1.4 million of development expenses, which are very important to our industrial plan and are very important to secure future growing, partially offset by the recovery of certain insurance claims. Finally, our EBITDA was negatively impacted by exchange rate variation due to the progressive devaluation of the sterling against the euro. Just to remind you, last year we had a ratio of 0.75 sterling per euro, and now we have 86 sterling per euro. Now let's look at slide number 14, cash flow. This slide provides a table breakdown of our net financial position and shows the change from end of 2016 to first quarter 2017. Let's start with the net financial position breakdown. Our gross debt is mainly composed of project financing, non-recourse debt. which is about 732 million euros, and decreased by 3 million compared to the end of 2016. Derivatives accounting for 59 million, practically the same as last year. Third-party debt, which is CII Holdco, our Danish minority shareholders in our UK wind farm, was 5 million, in reduction of 2 million in comparison with last year. And we also need to account for 21 million in other debt. We have significant cash available in the amount of 150 million, which of course is less than the amount available to us at the end of 2016 due to certain payments that we postponed at the end of 2016 and now we paid, plus 137 million of cash reserves in the special purpose vehicle, which is our project companies, which is required by the project financing schemes. Our net financial position increased ever so slightly as a result of the positive cash flow from operation of 4 million, which was offset by 5 million in capital expenditures and stock buyback of 1 million. The cash produced by our friends has been absorbed by payments related to CapEx, as I said before, that we postponed at the end of 2016. So the EBITDA was 45 million, the financial charges was around 10 million, the payment for CapEx 20 million, and of course the delta of working capital due to seasonality is around 10 million. This makes the 5 million as before. The impact of exchange ratio between end of 2016 and first quarter 2017 is very, very low. Now let's look at slide 15, and then I will leave to Tony. In 2016, we have the debt breakdown. Our Q1 2017 gross debt of 773 million euro is composed, as usual, of 97% of project financing non-recourse debt and is hedged at 70%. Our net debt is hedged at over 100% due to the significant amount of liquidity, which, of course, is not hedged. As you can see at the bottom of this slide, our net financial position to EBITDA ratio is not fully representative of our asset in operation because it also includes debt related to the construction commissioning phase of our Crowbar plant in Scotland, which started in execution in March to get the full ROC accreditation. We are pleased to report that that plant has already started commercial operation in April. Our average interest rate cost, including interest rate swaps, is 4.25%. We are pleased to have reduced our average interest rate from 5.5% in 2015 to 4.25% in Q1 2017, which reflects the successful negotiation of new loans and renegotiation of certain existing loans with more favorable conditions. The 4.25% interest rate includes an average of 4.2% of project financing costs. This 4.2% is split into 2.1% of average margin over LIBOR, Euribor depending on the currency of the loan, 2% of interest rate swap, and 0.15% of floating rate. The subordinated loans from CIO and royalties agreement increase this 4.2% to an overall of 4.25%. However, we are still working to further reduce our total interest cost in 2017, despite increasing long-term interest rates. Now I'd like to turn it back to Tony for his concluding remarks.
Thank you, Paolo. So we will, before we move to conclusions and Q&A, page 17, let me just take a second to introduce the some of the new members of our management team. We have added Carmelo Scalone, which takes the responsibility of business development, which has extensive experience precisely in business development, being the head of BD or BDP Renewables before EDF Énergie Nouvelle, always at global level, and before that he also developed the business of Gamesa Italia, which, as you might remember, was about developing wind farms and then selling them. So he has extensive development experience globally And so we believe that Carmelo will contribute significantly to the achievement of our mission of global growth in the next 5 years. Marco Cittadini takes on the responsibility of client services, which includes Vector 4, but is not limited to Vector 4. It's also about entering some of the areas we discussed in our business plan, which are the energy efficiency side and other services to to industrial and commercial customers we might realize in the future. His experience is also specific of the sector, having worked both in Poirier, so on the consulting side, which is closer to the experience and background of Vector 4 and the needs of Vector 4, and also having had direct experience in an energy services company, part of the Veolia group in Italy. So he has experience in both fields that he needs to take care of in the industrial plant. We also created a new function of general counsel, which groups the activities of legal and corporate affairs, which we did not have before. And we have entrusted this responsibility to Lucia Monti, which essentially was doing the same job at ERC. And so she has direct experience of the industry, the sector, and also of the some of the geographical areas where we want to expand. So we are confident that these very valuable contributions to our team will allow us to deliver on the business plan that we presented a while ago. Moving now to page 18. By the way, they are not limited only to these people, but I have highlighted those professionals that, in my view, of course, stand out. But our work on the management is, of course, continuing at all levels. So page 18, to conclude our quarterly presentation, I would say that, number one, good first quarter results, confirm that we are on track to achieve our guidance in terms of EBITDA and net financial position. These numbers were set in March, as you might remember, when we presented our full year 2016 results. Financing continues to be an important area for us. It plays an important role both to support our growth and also to it's important for us to renegotiate the existing facilities, lowering the cost of debt. And this has an impact, as we have seen in this quarter, on our financial charges. Our priority is, of course, growth. Our business is both the business which has to do with our assets that we consolidate in our balance sheet, and of course our services business, and we feel that strengthening and working on the team is important, and it's one of the ways you achieve on that goal. We continue to devote a lot of attention, of course, to the development phase, but on top of that we are focusing on better managing our top line, our revenues. This means not only the dispatching of energy, which we will perform by ourselves starting in the third quarter of 2017, but we are setting up both the team and the systems to be able to do so. But it means also other things like integrating better meteorological data and connecting the operational aspects and performance of our wind farms to the meteorological and dispatching platforms. Vector 4 continues to grow and is on track to enhance its international presence in other markets. For example, we recently opened the office in Dubai. Development expenses are on track to support our growth. They are expense in our profit and loss, and they are growing in line with the strategy we highlighted in our Capital Markets Day. The key operational performance parameters are on track and in line with expectations. Finally, I would say the shareholders' approval at the annual meeting we had at the end of April with the stock grant plan 2017 and 2019 is absolutely in line with what we announced at the Capital Market Day, and of course aligns the goals of management and encourages the entire management team to create value for all shareholders in the medium long term. So we are particularly pleased to have concluded also that aspect, which connects, in our view, all the dots creating the appropriate set of incentives and conditions to perform and deliver on the business plan. With that, I would like to turn now to Q&A.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Dario Michi of Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thank you for taking my question. The first one is if you could please give us your feelings about the recently unveiled National Energy Plan, with a focus on the solar and the wind initiatives. The second question is on the size of the new opportunities currently under assessment, as written in the press release. And broadly speaking, the steps you are doing in order to reach the targets set in the recently unveiled business plan. Thank you.
Okay. So I think the first question was about the sense of the strategy presented by the Minister of Economic Development in Italy, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we of course are, you know, analyzing the data, which is not yet in its completely final version. Of course, we have all looked at the material presented 2 days ago in the audition. It's pretty much in line with expectations in the sense there is a strong, I would say, growth of a push for energy efficiency, which, as we know, is probably the most challenging target for Italy. And we see that as an opportunity, of course, because we are taking steps, as we mentioned before, in that specific area, and in particular in Italy. So for that is, you know, pretty good news from our standpoint. With respect to the sort of decarbonization of the power generation sector in Italy, I was quite frankly surprised also at some scenarios in terms of reduction of coal production, phase out of coal production, which probably were a bit above our expectations, so faster than expected. So we need to see exactly which one will be then followed. Overall, if you analyze the underlying numbers, which have to do with the renewable space, so solar and wind, in any of the scenarios, it looks like there will be sustained growth in the solar and wind sectors to reach the 2030 target. It was perhaps a little bit more in the numbers of the presentations, but if you do the numbers, you pretty quickly realize that the growth needs to be significant, not only in terms of repowering, which was more the focus of wind, but of course clearly also in solar. So we are trying to understand some of the details. For example, there was an indication of long-term contracts for solar. It wasn't so clear for wind, so which, you know, in our view, of course, it would be important also for the wind sector to have the same long-term, so to speak, contract to be able to then efficiently finance and construct and finance both existing repowered and new power plants. But overall, I would say it's good news. So the strategy is good news for the sector overall, if you put together the all the picture. But as you know, devil is in the details. We will participate both through association and directly at the next step, which is the consultation, the public consultation process. We have been very active also through the associations in the previous phase, where only the association were allowed to interact in the process of defining the strategy. So it does not, for the time being, change our approach strategically. So as you know, we have been fairly light in terms of Southern Europe, which what we call Southern Europe, which is Italy and Spain. Of course, we have also looked at the tenders in Spain. My view is that it remains a fairly complex mechanism in Spain, and the financeability of project with that mechanism is all to be seen. So if you want a comparison, I think we we probably have better news from the Italian strategy than from the Spanish auctions. So we will continue to monitor the situation in Italy. But again, what matters is now how does the strategy translate into tangible action. As you know, the minister has been very clear, the strategy is not the implementation plan, so we'll probably not see yet all the details. We will, after the strategy, then we'll see, you know, if it translates, for example, into next tenders for additional capacity in wind and solar. So with respect to the size of the new of the new opportunities you're mentioning, again, when we have agreements, we will announce them, but I can tell you that we are working exactly in the markets that we announced we would be working. So we are working, of course, in what we call Northern Europe, in particular in Netherlands, in particular in France. And, of course, we are constantly look also to strengthen our position in terms of pipeline, potentially also in the UK. In the UK, of course, the election is... resets in a way the timer, in the sense that while before the position of the government with respect to onshore wind might have changed, for example, in 2020 with the new elections, now we know that the position that the government will take will stay in place until 2022. So it very much depends what they say. What they say is going to be... described, we believe some elements of it are going to be in the manifesto that the Tory party will publish soon. As of yesterday night, I don't think it was published yet, so I don't know if it was published this morning. As you know, from the political system in the UK, that manifesto of the party is also very linked, very close to what then that government will do in the following 5 years. So it provides very good indications. In other words, if certain things are part of that manifesto, then it's very likely they will be done. If they're not, it's also very likely they won't be done. So we need to see what they say in terms of renewable energy. I don't expect big changes relative to their previous policy, to be clear, because you know, I think they were very clear in terms of privileging offshore and not onshore. But we shall see, because of course, as we know, in the United Kingdom, the position of Scotland is very different from the one of England and Wales. In terms of and the size of the opportunities that we're looking at are typical for the United Kingdom. So they go from, you know, the class of sites, which are 20 megawatts, some of which we have in our own portfolio, as we know, for example, the Millennium Extension, Mockham Fell, and so on. Or, but we're also looking at portfolios of opportunities or sites which are larger in size, so more in the class of 50 to 100 megawatts. With respect to Netherlands, the size, I would say, is in generally speaking smaller. We're talking about the range of that goes from 10 to 30 megawatts. That's more typical for Netherlands because, as we know, it's very crowded onshore. It's a very small country and it's very much used by agricultural purposes, for agricultural purposes. What we're looking at right now is also more long-term development, which is very typical of our approach. As we know, we have three drivers looking at something which is readier to build, which we are going to do mostly in the next 2-3 years because we are building our pipeline in these countries where we did not decide to develop in the past. So these are new countries, so we could not have pipeline even if we wanted to because before November nobody thought about going there. But we're also looking at joint development agreements and direct development. So I would say in Netherlands, I would characterize our current effort in Netherlands as joint development agreements. France, we are looking at both, so to speak, ready to build opportunities. Some of them, I would say, still in the existing regime of feed-in tariff, and then longer-term joint development agreement. I would say in both France and Netherlands, we are looking at wind prevalently, and solar, I would say, with a larger preference in France, but also Netherlands, because Netherlands might actually be, because of the existing FTA plus mechanism in place, also interesting from a solar standpoint. But of course, I would say the majority of the interest on solar is in France. Finally, with respect to Scandinavia, the size of the opportunities can vary very much. What we're looking at is, I would say, anything which is between the 50 and the 100 plus megawatt size, because this is much more typical of opportunities in Scandinavia. The two countries that we are focusing on at the moment are Sweden, which, as we know, is the most developed wind market, which has also the largest installed capacity to date. But we're also looking at Norway, where there is less installed capacity, less people, much more, also significant wind potential and wind capacity factors. Both countries, as we know, are in discussions to decide what to do with the existing green certificate system, which expires in 2020. As we know from news, Sweden will probably extend and increase the target in terms of renewable energy ambitions beyond 2020. So the green certificate market will continue also beyond the existing deadline of 2020. This is recent news, which of course makes a better case of investment in the future, even though it has to be said that the green certificate is not the primary driver of investment in these countries, because the value of the green certificate is very low typically. So the driver of interest in these countries is purely the fact that the low levelized cost of energy is closer to the wholesale price, with and without the, I would say, a bit independently from the value of the green certificate. So they're closer to grid parity, to the famous concept of grid parity. Size-wise, and I will complete that, I'm probably taking a bit longer answer here, but just to give maybe everybody else also a better overview, with the United States, in terms of size, we're looking mostly at solar these days, and in terms of size, we are looking at the class which in certain markets is beyond a certain threshold. So the 5 megawatt size, for example, in certain markets, which has a certain feature, for example, has access to predefined PPA contracts. But we're also looking at larger classes of assets, you know, 40 to 60 megawatt size. So nothing which is extremely large. And we have explained that this in the past. Our overall strategy is to diversify our sources of income, so we are not concentrating essentially investments in one single asset in any of the countries which could concentrate too much the risk. So we feel that the megawatt size I mentioned in my description address this strategic goal of diversification of our income profile. So, thank you.
Okay, the next question is from Roberto Letizia of Equita SIM.
Yes, good morning. A question that has a reflex on the guidance, but the first quarter, as you mentioned, performed well. I was wondering whether if you can sum up where both above the EBITDA line and below the EBITDA line, actually you are going better than the guidance forecast included in the strategy plan, if there's anything that actually is going better. And as a reflect to this question, if you now feel more close to the 136 level than the 132 level of your guidance. And a second question that is a follow-up on the National Energy Strategy that specifically relates to the repowering. So one of the elements that you didn't mention for is the possibility, or the first time that the government in the energy strategy is talking about the repowering potential for the wind, although currently they only are talking about authorization procedure that are facilitated, but they are actually looking to the repowering. And I was wondering whether is this coming a reality also for Falkrenew, considering that one of the Italian player is actually starting to do it already. We saw one of the players in Italy already doing the first 3 megawatt repowering, and I was wondering if this is coming at a higher speed than what is expected, if it is an opportunity for Falkrenew, and in which time frame actually, if beyond the strategy plan currently or already within the same time frame. Thank you.
Okay, Roberto. So on the first question, I will answer a bit more qualitatively, if you want, because you know, 1 quarter over what will be 20 quarters of a business plan it's not a lot of data. Of course, when you compare to 1 year, it's you know, 1/4 of the data, so it already gives you a bit of an indication. But there's a you know, these are also things which are impacted a bit by seasonality. I would say that generally speaking, the drivers of EBITDA, you know, there was a wash essentially relative in terms of our expectation. I'm talking about not year over year, but pretty much it's a wash in terms of volumes and price. You know, what we gained in price, we essentially compensated with volumes. Year over year, of course, we grew because of perimeter, but perimeter is already accounted for in our business plan. I would say that we are doing a bit better in terms of OPEX, but that's also because last year we had some maintenances in the first quarter for Rende.
Sorry if I interrupt you, but actually I was not meaning whether you're going better year on year, but where you're going better versus...
Yeah.
The expectation.
I'm answering.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I'm answering. So I would say, relative to expectation, I would say price and volumes wash each other out. Okay. OPEX slightly better, but there is also seasonality relative to the maintenance of Rende, so you should take into account of that. Year over year and relative to expectations, a little bit better. So I didn't complete before. That's why you. Quindi. Better, slightly better than expectations, and year over year, of course, there is that in the factor. I would say DevEx in line, the rest pretty much in line. So this is the bottom line. If you look at the technologies, I would say biomass and waste to energy better than expectations. Of course, wind, but because of the wind factor, was... lower than expectations. This is my sort of qualitative answer. As you know, we don't typically comment relative to expectations, relative to the quarter, or ever. But you know, just to provide you a little bit of our indication, because
if Paolo can do something similar below the EBITDA line, I was wondering if also the management of the from the depreciation to the interest charge is actually in line with expectation, or if there's anything better on that line.
So I will ask Paolo to comment on actually FX, which I didn't comment, and maybe the rest of the question if he can. While he prepares, I will answer to your other question, so I give Paolo a bit of time. So in terms of energy strategy, as you mentioned, the repowering is not clear on the fundamental component, which is the route to market for the energy, so the revenue structure. And, you know, before that is clear, of course, it's very difficult to judge. As I mentioned, there's been a bit more clarity on solar, where they mentioned long-term contracts. In wind in general, they did not. And they talked about the permitting, which is an important aspect. By the way, the permitting is also being very clear in the clean energy package for Europeans, at the level of European directives, so the fact that all procedures also for new should be shortened and actually should be addressed by one single authority, which is not necessarily the case. So for us it's difficult to change view on Italy, as I mentioned, overall. In particular also in the power, it's difficult to change view.
So we will continue to monitor. Our existing wind farms do not allow for a quick win in terms of repowering because they're fairly new at the end of the day, and the technology is not so different from current technologies. So I think repower, of course, is more of an immediate news for those companies that have very old wind farms because they have them in their portfolio, and so it's easier to repower. For us, it would be about looking at opportunities where you need to first enter into an existing old project and then repowering. So it's all a question at the end of the day of, you know, whether or not you pay a price that discounts or not the repower potential. Sophisticated sellers today in the Italian market already discount a potential value of repowering, precisely because the strategy has already indicated the repowering avenue as one of the future strategies. So expectations already discount, in my view, the potential of repowering. Of course, there's still uncertainty, so they might discount it not with the appropriate level. So some might take a certain view, some others might take another one. So my answer is we continue to look at the opportunities one by one. This has always been our approach. So we look at the opportunities. We do attribute value to repowering. Then if it makes sense, given our investment criteria, we will evaluate them. Otherwise, we won't. But for us, it will come fundamentally through sort of acquiring all sites and then repowering them because ours are fine. I would say that in solar also, the what needs to be looked at and that will also be applicable for wind, but in solar they're already out, is some technical guidelines provided by GSA, which might also create the potential for modernization and partial repowering of solar PV plants in Italy. And that might be also an interesting opportunity, which we are analyzing. For us, these things, by the way, always offer a double opportunity. One opportunity to sort of put more assets in our balance sheet, but they also provide the opportunities to provide more services to clients, engineering services, for example, through Vector 4. So clearly two different order of magnitudes, one required capital, the other doesn't, but we are analyzing also the impact of the market potentially developing in that direction also, both in solar and wind for Vector 4. Summary, the view, however, still does not change strategically for us in Italy. So it remains driven by the opportunities. So it's going to be opportunity-based, and as we mentioned in the past. Paolo, I don't know if you...
Yes, okay. Regarding the item below the EBITDA, we can say that on depreciation and amortization, we have a slightly higher amount because we had about 200,000 restructuring cost in this first quarter. And below the operating result, we had a significant better situation in financial charges, which is $500,000 better than we expected. Of course, this depends a lot on the foreign exchange of the sterling against the euro. But so far, I would say that the net amount is better than what we expected, around 300,000.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Other questions?
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered this time.
Well, we then thanks everybody. We remind we have added in the backup of our presentation our calendar of meetings with investors just for the for clarity. And we are, of course, we are going to have a Capital Markets Day also this year. We have chosen to do it the first week of December, most likely, and not the last of November, to update on our business plan. So we thank everybody again, and we look forward to hear and to talk again in the next conference call. Bye-bye.